Cornucopia Radio presents.
Hello, and welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle. Britain's answer to a question that nobody asked. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist, who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. And while our real panellists are striking for better working conditions, please welcome David Wiley, Phil Sharman, Toby Mackenzie Barnes, and Tom Harrison. So, let's move on to the challenge in round one. What a total disgrace. On top of the pathetic skeletal ribcage, which now apparently passes as a Toblerone, it appears as if the manufacturers of the once great elongated chocolate pyramid have finally lost it. The spacing, width, and frequency of the chocolate chunks are now entirely randomized. Get to the Toblerone production plant in Bern, Switzerland, and demand some solid answers. So, attempting the challenge first will be Wiley.
Hello.
Your object tonight is a fire exit sign that's on fire. Your companion is Carol Vorderman. Your mode of transport is crowd surfing on a crowd of surfers. And your starting point is trying to talk your way out of a speeding ticket in Caracas, Venezuela. Okay. So best of luck to you, Wiley, trying to get to Switzerland. And best of luck to you, Phil, throwing whatever obstacles you can in his way. Wiley, your time starts now.
I've got two ways I can get out of this speeding ticket. I can either use Carol Vorderman, or the one I'm leaning towards is just setting him on fire. So I'm going to do that, and he can jump off the coast into the ocean and, get rid of all of his flames. That's good.
Love it.
And you know what? Because we're crowd surfing, I'm going to use them. They're very good swimmers, surfers.
Yep.
So I'm thinking we're also going to jump off the coast and swim our way in the direction of Switzerland.
Very nice.
That's a good route that you're taking there.
Thank you.
Crowd surfing on water, not as easy as you might hope. It's just difficult to get the purchase that you're looking for. But there's a bigger problem than that. It's 2017. Crowd surfing's not as big as it used to be. A lot of the surfers...
So I've only got like four surfers or something.
Well, it's more that they thought they said crowd sourcing. And the surfers are broken up into groups and are just pitching ideas at one another. They're not moving you forward at all.
Oh, this is terrible. Carol Vorderman has decided that she's going to take charge of this because I'm clearly useless at it. That's somebody that everybody can follow behind. She's going to be our celebrity endorsement.
She's a paragon of humanity.
Thank you.
It's hard to disagree, and the surfers think so too, but they best beloved her from her countdown days. As do we all. And shout out to her. Two from the top, Carol. It's more than a generation since she quit the show, but she can't help herself but get out the numbers that she still carries around with her everywhere she goes. I've always got time for a numbers game. It's distracting you from your task, but here we are.
In the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. It becomes a new sensation, and like flocks of boats with cameras on come. And it's the best countdown's ever been since she left the show. It's brilliant. It's countdown on the sea with crowd surfers and me. It's great.
You got 1 minute left.
It's good. How's that burning fire escape sign getting on?
Well, it's been extinguished because it's in the water, obviously. I take it out and whack you around the face with it for your insolence.
Well, that's pretty rude, but okay.
I get on one of the crowd surfing. They bring their surfboards with them, obviously, into the ocean. And I start using that sign as a paddle. To propel myself forward. And Carol Vorderman follows me because I'm the contestant on the show. She can't do it without me. And we I like to think I've been doing this throughout the past 2 minutes. So I'm going to say we hit the coast of Portugal.
Very nice.
Climb out of there, and we can actually do crowd surfing. It's a lot easier on the land now. So we're there. We're doing the proper thing that my mode of transport was designed to do.
Very nice.
Can't argue with that.
Surfers gonna crowd surf. It's just what they're built for.
Exactly. So head from Portugal through Spain.
10 seconds left.
Through all the way to Switzerland. No, that's too far. Well, I won countdown at least, so that'll do.
Yeah, David Wiley. Yeah, let's just create a new show. I think this sounds awesome.
Countdown's not a new show, James.
On the sea it is. So now we're going to have Phil attempting the challenge. You have with you tonight a bench. Your companion is... just a bench, that's it. Your companion is Bill Nye, the science guy. Your mode of transport is a stretch go-kart. And your starting point is comedically dying on stage in a New York City comedy club. So... best of luck to you, Phil, and best of luck to you, Wiley, trying to stop him. Phil, your time starts now.
Is this thing on? Oh, God. Don't look at me like that. I mean, yeah, my jokes are a little hackneyed, but this is a comedy club in New York, and you've actually got a brick wall behind me. I mean, you're not coming up with original ideas yourself, guys. Anyway... I haven't got time for this, because what I really need to be doing is saving the Toblerone as we know it. And I'm pretty sure that all of the crowd within the comedy club are as big a fan of the nougaty goodness as I am. And can't handle any irregularity in their chocolate. So they're right behind my mission now, which is good. Bill Nye, who is in the audience, loves a bit of New York comedy. That's good. Decides to join me. Bringing his own bench with him. Not as helpful as I'd have liked, Bill. I feel like with your intellect, you could have come up with something a bit more useful than a bench. But we will take your stretch go-kart, so that's something.
Yes.
Tearing. Feel free to leave.
Well, we're ready now. The team is assembled. The first act is complete. And this stretch go-kart is going to make a lovely, luxurious form of travel across the Atlantic. It's but it has got all the mod cons you'd expect from a stretch go-kart. So me and Bill Nye, we're just hanging out in the whirlpool.
Yep.
Sitting back, just enjoying the journey across the sea. We're going to be in Switzerland.
How does this go-kart go on the sea? You're going to have to explain this one to me.
Well, Bill Nye is more the explainer in the group, I'll be honest.
Then get him to explain it to me.
It's got something to do with buoyancy.
Okay.
And that's about displacements. I think Eureka. Really, ask Bill. He will tell you all about this
science
stuff.
At work, right in front of our eyes.
Right. Okay, Neil deGrasse Tyson shows up and slashes your tires. Oh. He hates Bill Nye.
This is the rivalry I was worried about. Oh, it's a legendary rivalry, and it's got quite bitter, I have to say. Thankfully, I've positioned the bench between the two of them as kind of a sectioning
holding
off.
Them away from each
That's
other.
That's exactly what the bench is for,
yes.
To keep these two fuming behemoths of modern science away from one another.
1 minute left.
And continue to make the journey. We hit land. We've hit the coast of France. And the wonderful buoyant go-kart makes
it's not
it
buoyant anymore. The tyres were slashed. She but didn't get past that.
The buoyancy was so... Oh, Bill Nye will explain this to you. So we continue on land with the very luxurious... Slightly slashed, but the bar's intact, so that's good. This stretch go-kart, the bar's fine.
Yeah, you can get drunk. That's a much better idea.
Well, Bill Nye and what's his name have made up
Neil
their differences.
DeGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson made up their differences over the bar, so, you know, handy.
Yep.
Now you have 2 get-out-of-jail-free cards.
And now we are coming over the peaks of Switzerland. I can see...
10 seconds left.
I can see the factory for Toblerone shaped like a giant Toblerone. Nice trick.
Oh, very nice. Phil Sherman, let's just say that's lovely stuff. Great stuff there from our first pair, but we're now moving swiftly on to our second pair. And going first will be Toby. Your object tonight is a knife made of jelly. Your companion... is a giggling group of Japanese schoolgirls. Your mode of transport is the refreshment trolley from the Hogwarts Express. And your starting point is pitching an office project you really don't believe in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. So best of luck to you, Toby, and best of luck to you, Tom, trying to stop him. Toby, your time starts now.
So I'm pitching this project that came to me in a fever dream. I really don't like it, but I figured I needed to bring something to the table. And fortunately for me, the whole of the board has been replaced by, through this massive administrative error, been replaced by a group of giggling Japanese school kids. So they all just kind of giggle, which is kind of an agreement for my project, that we should move to Switzerland and try to regulate the Toblerones rather than what we already do, which is make fantasy trains. So we need to find a way there. But unfortunately, we've run out of fantasy trains. We've only got that trolley from Hogwarts. So we hop on. The Japanese schoolgirls, they're all kind of giggling in one direction, which powers us forwards.
The only problem is they've come across a petting zoo, which they find to be too kawaii, which is a word that weird white guys use on the internet a lot. And I don't entirely know what it means, but I'm fairly sure it's an impediment to you.
Yep. And fortunately, I have my knife made of jelly. And I slip a bit of jelly off each bit. I'm sharpening it into those pets' mouths. And it's this really toxic jelly. So they all just disintegrate into dust. And since they can only giggle, they just continue giggling. It spouts us on our way. The more dramatic, the more giggles. We're powering through China at this point. It's a real, like, trolley. And now we're hitting Kazakhstan. People are throwing sandwiches at us because it's a great event to see.
As you hit the border, you realise that everyone has been eating Bertie Bossett's, is it, every flavour beans in flu flavour, which, to be honest, is a real disadvantage with having beans of every flavour. But everyone is really, really sick.
Yeah, that is a problem. I see that. The giggles are really not going. It's more of a kind of noise rather than a pure giggle. What I do, I'm unwrapping all of these, like, magic chocolate frogs, putting them inside of them.
1 minute left.
And they're just, now these girls are just bouncing around. And it's kind of a giggle, it's kind of a ribbit. It's actually somehow more powerful than normal giggles, which is really nice. It's getting us just towards Switzerland. I can see it now.
The frogs have started eating the knife off of your jelly, which is creating some kind of confectionery singularity.
I can feel that I'm getting pulled in. The Toblerones are in sight. They're getting pulled in as well. But unfortunately, I think I am turning into Smarties at this point. I can feel every one of my bones just go into different colours. Maybe some of them are Skittles. Who knows? I'm just disintegrating.
What is happening?
This is madness.
I'm lost. I am lost.
I think I'm nothing at this point.
10 seconds left.
And I just feel myself, and suddenly I'm just a bean.
One
jelly bean.
Toby McKenzie Barnes. That was quite the obstacle, Tom. Well done, Toby. But now we're going to have Tom attempting the challenge. Your object tonight is some sour grapes. Your companion is that guy who always sings Wonderwall at parties. Your mode of transport is a fake motorbike from an arcade game. And your starting point is picking your nose on the Jumbotron in Samoa. So, best of luck to Tom getting out of that situation, and best of luck to you, Toby, trying to stop him. Tom, your time starts now.
Okay, so the Jumbotron is like the Kiss Cam thing, isn't
basically,
it?
Basically, yes.
Okay, well, I crush the embarrassment that I feel from this down into a little ball and store it away for later to be released, probably inappropriately, and get on the road! Now, fact about Wonderwall party guys is that they also are the sort of people that ride those weird, stupid 4x4 longboard things, even though they're like 34. So I attach the wheels from that onto the fake motorbike so that I can kind of propel myself. Of course, it still has a base, so it's not super, like, elegant, but it works. I zoom through Samoa, and if there's one thing that the worst George Romero Land of the Dead film taught me is that apparently every car is stolen in Samoa, which, to be honest, seems like a lie. But I steal a car and drive it to the coast, where I jump on a trawler to head straight for Australia.
The trawler is filled with shrimp, and each of these shrimps are angry at you for personal reasons.
I've annoyed a lot of shrimp in my life. A lot of seafood in general, really. Okay, well, I will get the Wonderwall guy's guitar, grabbing it off of him mercifully, stopping him from playing the first three chords badly over again. I just beat the shrimp into the ground, creating some kind of weird puree, which I might actually bring with me, because you never know.
It can
when
make the grapes taste a lot nicer.
Grape shrimp puree.
You try a bit and it's absolutely horrible.
I reckon it will still sell in like Islington or somewhere. Weird food is just for some reason go crazy for it. And I reach Australia, where I jump back onto my weird bike thing that I'm propelling along. I'm being serenaded by like the Wonderwall guy who's just about managed to reach, gonna bring it back to you. Where I get to the shore, where I chop down a tree and fashion myself a raft, regretting leaving the trawler behind. I mean, I did steal it.
So. 1 minute left.
The Wonderwall guy has suffered an existential crisis, realizing that it's not really a good thing to sing at parties. And he's not actually doing any fun for you on this journey.
I take him by the shoulders and I go, look, we've had our share of disagreements. I hate pretty much everything you stand for, to be completely honest. But one day, just maybe, if you keep at it, maybe you'll be able to play all of Green Day's Nimrod at parties. if you just stick with it. And as I say this, we're floating around the kind of side of Africa. I'm eating some sour grapes and regretting it, but and I wash ashore in Portugal, where I hitch up my stupid bike thing again. I'm now just bored and I'm pressing the side just so it goes reload. Someone's accidentally put a Time Crisis CD in there, and I settle down in Portugal because, let's be honest, I'm not making it to Switzerland.
Tom Harrison. Reload! Okay, very nice. Fantastic stuff there in round one, but it's now time to find out who has won, and those two people are Phil and Toby! Now a sentient bean! So we now move swiftly on to round two. In this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transportation to improvise obstacles in order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy Chocolate Chunk Challenge Champion. Cha-ching! Let's see what the challenge is in round two. You kick down the door to the production plant, only to see the entire wall fall away, swiftly followed by the other three walls. The whole place was an elaborate front. You study the Toblerone box in your hand, desperately seeking answers. And there it is, right in front of your eyes. The Illuminati pyramid, cheekily winking at you. And the spacing and width of the chocolate slabs. You now realize it must be a message in Morse. You quickly decipher the Coco code. To reveal the Illuminati headquarters in Trinidad and Tobago. Yes. So, attempting the challenge first will be Phil, who, just to remind everyone, has with him a bench, Bill Nye the Science Guy, and a stretch go-kart, and also Neil deGrasse Tyson, for some reason. And now, Wiley will be trying to stop him using his fire exit sign that's no longer on fire, his Carol Vorderman, and his crowd surfing on a crowd of surfers. Best of luck to Phil, trying to get to Trinidad and Tobago. Your time starts now.
Off to Trinidad or Tobago. I mean, they're two separate islands. I feel like I'd like to specify a little bit more. But general direction is off to those islands out by Suriname. Right near Suriname, that's where we're headed. So, back on the stretched go-kart?
Yes!
Yeah, okay. And it's good now because it's all downhill. It's all downhill on the mountain that I'm up to the top of. So straight down, getting a lot of momentum with my stretch go-kart. The bench is heavier than I'd like it to be, but I'm bringing that along for now anyway. Might
all
come in useful.
All that momentum is taken straight out of you when you run into a fire exit sign. The Phew. Entire thing crumples into
Phew, at least it's not on fire.
It was extinguished in round one, and I don't have any matches, so
that's, that's helpful. But we're gonna have to leave this go-kart behind. I was, you know, the high life of living in a straight go-kart was, you know, distracting.
Fleeting.
Anyway. It was.
But that's so round one. I mean, come on.
Bill Nye and I make off just together, talking about science and stuff.
Carrying a bench, presumably.
Yeah, I suppose if we have to. Carrying a bench, we're making off. I've made a faux pas, a terrible faux pas, and I've got Bill Nye mixed up with Bill Nighy.
Oh, no.
It's very difficult to do in the written word, but when you're saying it out loud, they're so similar. Character actor Bill Nighy and science guy Bill Nye. He must get it all the time, but it doesn't stop him from being really angry with me. So now he's chasing me, which is actually speeding up the process, which is good. Oh. So Bill Nighy, really, and he's got a stride on him. He's a tall man. He's a tall man with a big stride. So I'm really having to give it some to get
he's
away
very
from
tall.
Bill Nighy.
I decided to make him taller by having him crowd surf on some of my surfers.
Oh, but he's distracted by this. Fluid dynamics, you see. yeah, his rage has dissipated.
He just goes wandering off into the distance.
Absolutely. He wants to see how this crowd of surfers function as a fluid. And it's really interesting stuff, but I won't dwell on it for now.
1 minute left.
Off we go. So we're through the Atlantic Ocean now. It's just me.
Wait, through the Atlantic Ocean? What happened there?
What? Yeah. Well, we've got the momentum up, then we stopped, then we ran, then we hit the Atlantic Ocean.
So you're swimming now?
Yeah, just me.
Okay.
Just
come across across the set of countdown. Myself and Carol Fordham are there. She's got the consonants, I've got the vowels. We're hurling them at you like ninja stars.
Oh.
Just spelling out insults on your chest.
This is quite the conundrum. But I power through because I just wait for the maths round. Yeah, the spelling's never going to be my strong suit, but when the maths round comes up, yeah, I'll do it with three from
the
top.
You can stay for the maths round if you want. That's fine.
I can do it three from the top, and even Carol Vorderman, because she's getting a bit old now, so she's not got her sharply honed mind like she used to have in her countdown prime.
Oh, you're going to lose
for
that.
I'm sorry, Carol. I feel bad.
Let's
now.
Let's get going, shall we?
No, but Carol, I'm really sorry,
Ten
Carol.
10 seconds left.
Oh, no, look, there's Trinidad. It's nearly there.
It's actually in Tobago.
Oh.
10. Bill Sharman. Lovely stuff. Okay, well, now we're going to have our second pair attempt to do better than that. So... Now attempting the challenge in round two will be Toby, who, just to remind everyone, has with him a knife made of jelly, a giggling group of Japanese schoolgirls, and the refreshment trolley from the Hogwarts Express, of which he is now one of the number of confectionery items. But now Tom will be trying to stop him using his sour grapes, that guy who always sings Wonderwall at parties, and a fake motorbike from an arcade game. Best of luck to you, Toby. Trying to get to Trinidad and Tobago, your time starts now.
So, as a bean on this trolley now, stuck in Switzerland, I'm struggling to communicate with these Japanese schoolgirls. Even though before I didn't speak Japanese, so it was hard enough. Now I'm kind of having to just force some kind of thoughts out. They eventually get the impression that they need to go to Trinidad. It's all a bit ambiguous as to why. So they set off on the trolley. They don't realize that there's a time limit. I'm trying to urge that out, but they are going slowly.
The guy who always plays Wonderwall at parties strolls in. It's like, you know, I actually know a little bit of Japanese. I studied the katana extensively, and I'm just really fond of your culture. So I'm going to try and just translate this. I'm not even going to try and replicate it because the sound is so bad. Ears bleed. It's like it's awful. Like, yeah.
But they all giggle so hard at him rather than with him that he kind of breaks down into a mush. And just slimes away as he should with his guitar.
I don't even disagree with you.
This really motivates them. They're like, we need to get away from these bloody Europeans. They start rushing and rushing. They get to the coast of Portugal and they hit the water and realize that they need something that floats. Fortunately, they slip the knife under the trolley. And they're just kind of vaguely floating above the water.
What you don't know is that I've been smearing pulp shrimp all over the top of your makeshift boat, and it's attracting a horde of angry seagulls.
Yeah, they're swooping down, and they've got these air currents which are just pushing us forwards. We've got one, the other. Suddenly this albatross comes, and it looks like it's going to get all of the shrimp in one, but no, it picks up the whole trolley, and we're flying along. The schoolgirls are just screaming and giggling. They just don't know what's going on. Why would they? This is a weird situation. I, as a bean, of course, know. I'm communicating with this albatross the way only a bean and albatross can communicate, navigating it to Trinidad.
1 minute left.
Okay, Trinidad is pretty, I'd imagine it's quite a party-ish place, so I've fed the guy from who sings Wonderwall some sour grapes to emphasise his sour grapes as part of an art project, or so, I don't know. But either way, we've unentertained the people of Trinidad so much that they're filmed just on the coast, like, angry at you, and I'm at the head of the army on a stupid motorbike pedal thing. I don't even know what I did to it anymore.
The albatross is extremely nervous of people who don't like it. It just drops us. We go smack into the ocean, and we're all just kind of sitting there. I mean, I'm beaning there, I suppose. I don't know if a bean can sit. And the one of the schoolgirls presents me forwards. Everyone's really confused why she's holding up a single bean. But she does it for like a while, 2 days. These people are
10
staring.
Seconds left.
They're confused. Eventually, they realize that this bean is their salvation. They let me in. We flourish. We party. And they know the bean life.
Wonderful. Toby McKenzie Barn. Powerful bean stuff there from that second pair. We are now going to find out the conclusion of this tale and who has won this a little bit racy. You go to kick down the Illuminati door, but wishing to avoid the embarrassment of round two, you politely open it instead. Inside, the hooded Toblerone elders are gathered. I deciphered your damn code, but what was it all for? They pull back their hoods, and among their number you see the Swiss president. While the actual Illuminati aim to distract the populace with trivial confectionery scandals, the president secretly left you a trail of clues so that you could finally expose this grand-scale deception. Ooh, the Illuminati are surely finished this time. And it is you, our winner tonight, Toby McKenzie Barnes!
Thank you. I'd like to thank every bean in the world. Heinz, you've been a big inspiration. Thank you.
Well, that's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank tonight's panelists, David Wiley, Philip Sharman, Toby McKenzie Barnes, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, and the phone lines are now open. If you want to evict Tom, text 04. See you next time. Racing would like to find out more? Follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.